This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Have you heard of Common Core Standards, the new plan being adopted in public schools across America? It's a plan for a national standard to be imposed that will decide what American kids learn and what they will not learn. Parents are really upset about this plan. Nationalized education standards should be unconstitutional under the 10th Amendment, which limits federal influence over the states. The General Educational Provisions Act, a federal law, prohibits any department, agency, officer, or employee of the United States from exercising any direction, supervision, or control over the curriculum, program of instruction, administration, or personnel of any educational institution, school, or school system, or over the selection of library resources, textbooks, or other printed or published instructional materials by any educational institution or school system. Close quote. Now that sounds pretty strong from federal law, a law specifically enacted to severely limit federal control of education. The new Common Core standards do limit local control of education. They are copyrighted and owned by private organizations. Federal dictates assure that 85% of academic standards in reading and math will strictly adhere to Common Core standards, leaving only 15% of the standards eligible to be altered by a local district. For example, Common Core does not teach cursive writing, and if a local school wants to teach it anyway, instead of keyboarding mandated by Common Core, cursive writing would likely use up the entire allowed 15%. Now, we're always being told to get advice from other countries, so how about taking some advice from our neighbor, Canada? Canada has no national standards. All standards are adopted locally, and Canada does not even have a National Department of Education.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Can we send you the latest edition of the Education Reporter? Just write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 and read about what's working and what isn't in schools across the country and in your community. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 or go online to eagleforum.org. Join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. And fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down.
Hey folks,
we must take America back.
I'd like to welcome you to the National Intel Report, your usual host and owner of Republican Republic Broadcast Network is not here today. He had an urgent trip to the West Coast, and he was kind enough and had enough faith in me to come here and take the reins and have a little soapbox of my own. So I decided to... my name is Clint Richardson, by the way. I have decided to use my time in the most efficient way that I can, and I want to really emphasize some very important stuff to you today. Now, I've been researching basically and being a full-time activist pretty much for the last half decade of my life, and a little longer than that. Been writing and making documentaries and that sort of thing, and I've come to some really, really frightening realizations. One of those, and this is what I want to talk to you about today, is the importance of language, the etymology of words, as well as the dualistic nature of the language that we use. Unfortunately, we're very much stuck in a conversational realm. In other words, we use the English language according to the common Webster's dictionary, which doesn't quite cut it, because everything that's important and everything that actually deals with what I like to call our own debt enslavement has to do with the legal language. And unfortunately, I know I have an educated audience here, so I'll try not to be too basic. But we've been entrapped into a system of fallacy based on the use of both of these languages intermingling those languages. In other words, we use the conversational language when we're dealing with government, and half the time we don't realize that our words have a dualistic meaning. In other words, they might mean something when I talk to my mother a certain way, but if I were to talk to government in that same language, government would laugh all the way to the bank, because it knows that I have no clue how to communicate. It is as if I am in Japan trying to speak English to a bunch of people who only speak Japanese. That is the nature of the legal language. And it takes beautiful, beautiful words, which we'll talk about today, words like freedom and liberty and constitution, in other words, and it mangles them, it perverts them into something that unfortunately half the time we don't realize we are using a word when we actually think that the meaning of that word is quite different than the legal meaning of that word. And we're bound by contract, of course, in the legal realm. Everything we do with government, everything we do in business, everything we do has to do with the legal terminology of those words, not the conversational words. Now, I guess it's important to really stress the fact that way back when in the so long ago, we had a system where a lot of people did not or were not able to read and write. I submit that that was actually a better situation to be in than to actually know the English language and be able to read it and write it today. Because unless you're familiar with that other secret societal and law society language, the legal language, you might as well be deaf and dumb. You might as well not be able to read and write because you still cannot and do not know how to communicate with government. You do not know how to demand things, not ask permission, not get on your knees and beg, but to actually tell government what to do. That is a power reserved by very few people out here in the in the conversational, in the common folks who try to use the law in the way it should be, to restrain government with its own law, which is very difficult because every law that government writes, it exempts itself from. And that makes it very difficult. We had a system of education when the colonies were being formed. That system of education was the university system. The strange thing about that is that those universities were not set up as public quote-unquote education. It was not for the common man. Those universities, every single one of them, were set up to actually teach the clergy about how to control the people. In other words, how to govern the people. When we look at the etymology of these words, government, for instance, we see the Latin root of that, where ment is defined as mentis or mind. And govern is defined or translated from gouverner, which is to control. So literally, when we're talking about the word government, we're talking about mind control. More importantly, we're talking about control. When those colonists set up these what they called congregational churches, those were forms of government. The congregation actually governed itself. We won't get into the details of that, but the university system, the school system, was literally set up to teach the clergy how to control or govern the people. Now, what was happening way back when was that a lot of people were coming over here on the ships, looking for homesteading, looking for work, looking for land, and those people were not necessarily part of these congregational churches that were started by these Quakers or Puritans, a word that should not be applied to these people. And so we had a situation where government or the church, which has always been government, this church and state have always been mixed, could no longer control the people. And this led to the centralizing or federalizing or creating of the nation of the United States. That was the real concept behind the creation of the nation, was to keep it in the ecclesiastical law. And one of the hardest things I had to accept and learn as I'm reading through all of these legal dictionaries and U.S. code is that most of the words that are actually used in the legal language, in the Constitution, in all of these different legal functions are very much ecclesiastical words. In other words, words that have a religious connotation or are backed by a higher authority. There's two very, very important things to realize about law. One of those is that it's always been and always has been ecclesiastical in nature. All you have to do is look at Rome and its Vatican, or England and its Church of England, its Episcopal Church, and of course the United States. We'll reserve our thoughts on that a very Masonic venture where the freedom of religion actually protected the worst kind of religions. Now, while Masons will not call themselves a religion, of course, that is what it is protecting, unfortunately. So Luciferianism is a protected religion, for instance, the Church of Satan, those sorts of things. That's the unfortunate side effect of such a protection. And really, the separation of church and state was nothing more than an the undeclaration or non-declaratory statement of a national religion. So nowadays, it's kind of ironic because what government actually did was set up a system of education for the masses. And we will talk about that when we get back from break. Again, you're listening to the National Intel Report. I'm Clint Richardson. I'll be your host for today, and we'll take calls in the second hour today. We'll be back.
When you were sleeping, they came and took it all away.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendovite is a garlic cayenne supplement with 5 other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks, welcome back. Again, you're on the National Intel Report, and John is away for a few days. I'm going to be hosting or sub-hosting for him today, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Bob Tuscan is going to join you for Thursday and Friday. Not real sure yet. So, again, we're talking about remembering, above all else, that the word govern or government is certainly a translation of the Latin word or for mind control, or more specifically, to control. Very important to understand that that's what govern is. And if you just think about it for a moment, you realize that, of course, you know, government makes law. You're supposed to follow the law. And if you don't, there is a force that will insist that you do. So that was the other thing that was so very difficult for me to understand, especially where we listen to such great authorities on the subject as Larkin Rose, who promotes the voluntary system. What unfortunately I realized was that we already live in a voluntary system. We are voluntarily subjected to this district 10 miles square called the United States. So we voluntarily do this even though we don't really understand that we're doing this. We are contractually obligated and we have duties to follow what the United States tells us to. That includes, of course, the Department of Education. Now, I'd like to just tell you, again, I know I'm dealing with an educated audience and this might be old news to some of you, but I'd like to talk about the flag and the worship of that flag called the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, before we had the hand-over-heart gesture that we have today, which nobody questions for some reason, it just seems normal that we put our hand over our heart and we pledge allegiance to an inanimate object flapping in the wind. Well, before it was that hand-over-heart gesture, and before the word God was introduced into that pledge, in the 1950s, I believe, that pledge actually was quite different. And in fact, it was a requirement. Of course, when you're in a communist country, you're required to recite such oaths and pledges, but you wouldn't think so in America. But in the case of West Virginia State Board of Education versus Barnett, that's 319 U.S. 624. That was in the year 1943, just before the hand-over-heart gesture became the commonality of saying the pledge in the schools. Here's what that case decision said. It said, quote, "The Board of Education on January 9th, 1942, adopted a resolution containing recitals taken largely from the court's gabbatist opinion and ordering that the salute to the flag become, quote, a regular part of the program of activities in public schools," unquote. Still quoting the case, it says that all teachers and pupils shall be required to participate in the salute honoring the nation represented by the flag. Very important word there is nation, because nation and country, as we'll discuss, are two completely different things. This is the federal government coming into the country, that is the state, and forcing it to pledge allegiance to the nation. Very, very different words there that we sometimes, again, without understanding the legal difference between the two, we intermingle the words country and nation. So it shall be required to participate in the salute honoring the nation represented by the flag, provided, however, that the refusal to salute the flag be regarded as an act of insubordination, and shall be dealt with accordingly. The resolution originally required the commonly accepted salute to the flag. Now remember, this was 1942. What was the commonly accepted salute to the flag? Quote, it defined, objections to the salute as being too much like Hitler's were raised by the Parent and Teachers Association, the Boy and Girl Scouts, and the Red Cross, and the Federation of Women's Clubs. Some modification appears to have been made in deference to these objections, but no concession was made to the complainants, which is the Jehovah's Witnesses. So, it goes on to say, what is now required, not a choice here, what is now required is the stiff arm salute. The saluter to keep the right hand raised with palm turned up while the following is repeated. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now you'll notice a distinct absence of the word God in that pledge. And that's because the word God wasn't added until later. I believe in the year 1950-something, I can't remember the exact date. The case finally goes on to say that 1953 was the year that God was added. Excuse me. It goes on to say that, quote, failure to conform to the Pledge of Allegiance by children is insubordination, dealt with by expulsion. Readmission to school is denied by statute, by statutory law, that is, until compliance. You will not be able to go back to school back then unless you say the Pledge of Allegiance and hold your hand stiff-armed communist style. Meanwhile, quote, meanwhile, the expelled child is unlawfully absent and may be proceeded against as delinquent. His parents or guardians are liable to prosecution, and if convicted, are subject to a fine not exceeding $50 and jail term not exceeding 30 days. Can you imagine in today's education system being expelled from school for not putting your hand in the air, stiff-armed, communist-style, and saying a pledge to a flag that represents a corporation, a nation? Can you imagine what that would be like today? I shudder to think that this was an accepted means of patriotism, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's purely and simply communism, fascism, whatever you want to call it. Which, you know, if you look at the if you actually go to the halls of Congress and you look at pictures of it, you'll notice that the international sign of fascism, the fasci, are right there, right next to and on either side of where the speaker and the president speaks. You'll find it in the House of Representatives. You'll find it in the Congressional Building. You'll find it at the top of the Capitol Dome. About eight of them, I believe, little bundles of wood with an axe in them, the international symbol of fascism, right there for everyone to see. It's on many police badges. It's on the army badges and patches. It's all over the place. Maybe you've noticed it, maybe you haven't. But I tell you now that the international symbol of fascism left over from the Roman fasci are all over the United States. And there's a reason for that, which should be obvious. So, we have, we have to talk about this. We have to understand what we're dealing with when we're talking about. So what is the difference between a country and a nation? We all say we live in if we asked, what country do we live in? We all commonly say the United States. But that is actually an inaccuracy because that is a nation. And what's interesting about that is that now we have the United Nations. And I don't really know what to call the United Nations because it is calling the United States nothing but a state, which is a country. What does that mean? What does it mean that the United Nations is calling us a state and that we are a state of that nation? And all other countries around the world are states of that nation? We'll be back after the break.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're on the National Intel Report. And again, John Stadtmiller will be back, I believe, on Monday. I'm Clint Richardson, your host for today. And Bob Tuscan will be filling in Thursday and Friday. I've just been confirmed on that. All right. So, again, when we're talking about the difference between a country, it's actually very simple. Because we're talking about something that is natural and something that is unnatural or political. Okay, when we're talking about natural rights, we're talking about being born in a country. That is the state of one where you're born. So a state is technically a country. A nation is a bunch of countries or states. And again, states are pretty much just corporations, body politic. They are a combination of territories that have been incorporated into a state and constituted. A constitution is actually a debt compact requiring the payment of debt or obligations to the nation. Nations are not natural. Nations are solely political bodies. In other words, they are artificial in nature.
They are pretty much what you might call a jurisdiction, or in ecclesiastical law, it's called a spiritual jurisdiction, because these guys literally believe they rule of and through God. Which God? I won't care to mention today, but I don't think it's the one that the listeners of this show are particularly fond of. So, by country, again, going to Bouvier's Law Dictionary of 1856, I like Bouvier's Law Dictionary simply because it's honest. A lot of people look at it and say, oh, it includes eugenics. It includes some horrible, horrible, horrible things in there. But, yeah, that's true, but that's because that's what was happening way back when. And, of course, it's still happening in a clandestine way today. But the great thing about Bouvier's is that it's honest. It tells you, and it was also commissioned by government, by Congress, and accepted into the official record as the law dictionary. So it's a very, very important piece of work. It's also available online if you just type in Bouvier's Law Dictionary. Start looking up some words. You'll be shocked at, again, the dualistic nature of legal terms compared to their sort of alter ego, which is the conversational language that we all learn. We are in domicile when we are talking about our country, whereas in the nation, we are in residence. There's a big difference there. A domicile is a legal term for your home, whereas residence puts you into a jurisdiction. When we register as voters, when we register our homes, when we register our property, and when we register our children, we are giving those things as artificial persons or artificial corporate structures over to the jurisdiction, that spiritual jurisdiction of the United States. This is a very, very involved topic. Some people call it the straw man. I like to refer to it as a little more direct as the paper man. A straw man being a collection of contractual obligations. It's not something that you can point to, the artificial person. It's not something that is a physical representation of a person. It is a series of paperwork. So I like to call it a paper man. Now, how do you tell the difference between yourself, which is your the man, the living, breathing person, natural person, that is, not artificial person. How do you tell the difference between that and your straw man, your combination of many, many contractual obligations? Well, the best way that I've found to explain it to people is to say, look, what do you think identity theft is? And for that matter, what do you think your identity is? Because right now, my identity, my contractual obligations, my numbers, all of these corporate things can be taken away from me and used by someone else. And I could go days or weeks or even months, I've heard some people, without even having a clue that my identity is around the world buying things, buying homes, buying cars, getting credit cards in my artificial name. That is a name that happens to be owned by a government. Your Social Security number is another one that's a good example. But the point is, how do you tell the difference between your straw man or your paper man, your artificial person, and your natural self? Most people don't even know this really even exists, because again, you can't just point to it and say, there's my straw man. But the best way to see it is just to consider what is identity theft, because it is literally your artificial person being used against your will. The problem is, you've been fooled and tricked and connived into contractually obligating yourself as the surety to that artificial person. Every time your numbers are used, your bank accounts, your credit cards, your identity, you are responsible for that. So this brings us to another word that's very important. That is solution. Now, a lot of times we'll do shows and we'll talk about a lot of important topics, and everybody at the end will say, have the same question. What's the solution? What are we going to do? What's the solution to problems. And ironically, I tell everybody the same exact thing, because there is, in fact, only one solution. Now, remember, the word solution has many, many definitions in Webster's Dictionary and all these conversational English language dictionaries, but there's only one real solution that is a legal definition. And that's why it's so important to stop talking to government in conversational terms, that everything, every single word that is used in every government contract, the Constitution, everything must be read in the legal language. If you don't know it, you're no different. I mean, you're pretty much, if you're trying to do something with government, you're basically trying to break down a brick wall with a bunch of feathers. It's not going to do anything. There is no solution except the legal one. And it's so important for people to understand this, because everything is based around this. What is a solution? Bouvier's Law Dictionary of 1856 simply defines the word solution in the civil law as payment. Payment. A one-word definition. Payment. It goes on to say, in definition number two, by this term is understood every species of discharge or liberation, which is called satisfaction, and with which the creditor is satisfied. The creditor is satisfied. You, folks, are all debtors, like it or not. You can pretend to go through the UCC, which, of course, is commercial. I don't know why people fall for that. I don't know why I falled for it at one time, the Uniform Commercial Code, why anybody would want to be in a commercial code when trying to get away from commercial things in government. Doesn't really make sense. So the creditor is satisfied. That's the solution. This term is rather a reference to the substance of the obligation. So the obligation is satisfied. A debt or obligation does not have to be monetary. It can be just simply contractual. I will do this thing or I will go to jail. I agree to that. My solution is to end that agreement, to end that contract or obligation by ending the contract. So, again, any time in the future where you listen to someone and then you ask the question, what is the solution? Your answer will always be the same no matter what it is, because whatever is happening when it comes to government and what government is doing to you and on your behalf, the solution is to end the contract, the obligation, the consent that goes into giving government your permission. And government takes your permission without even telling you. It uses what's called implied consent. It uses informed consent, even though you have no idea that you've been informed. Nobody reads the public notice section of their newspaper. Nobody thinks to acknowledge that government is constantly throwing things in the public notice section to tell you that it's going to do everything from create new roads to fund new corporations in their municipality to spraying the skies over your head in geoengineering. It's all right there. You see, government has to tell you and inform you before it can simply pretend that it has your consent. And as long as you are ignorant to the ways in which that consent is gained through the ancient form of public notice in newspapers, you're going to be clueless as to what government is doing. You're never going to be taught to government because you don't know how to apply a solution, an end or discharge of contract. Oh, the straw man. We'll be back here on the National Intel Report.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
John Stettmiller here. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our new sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They are a veteran-owned, Christian-based preparedness company. I know the owner, and I can tell you they share the same ideals and values that we do. From quality long-term food to self-defense and camping supplies, they have what you need to prepare. Great wholesale pricing, quality products, the best customer service. You just can't go wrong. One example, they have a one-year food package that includes a GMO-free vegetables and fruit, plus real meat like roast beef and chicken breast. Over 2,000 calories a day for $19.95. Not your run-of-the-mill carb bucket like a lot of them out there. From stun guns, batons, tents, gas masks, chemical suits, the list goes on and on. One thing you'll learn over time is value is defined by quality plus price. You get that value with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them that John sent you and receive a free knife with your order today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Welcome back. Let me give you an example of how the word solution gets applied in government. Let's say that you're actually interested and you actually realize that the benefits that you get from government are not necessarily worth all of the things that you're forced to do, all of the rights that you're required to utilize and your duties that government gives you. Let's say you actually realize that you don't want to be a slave anymore and that the so-called retirement benefit of Social Security is not worth being a contractual subject to be in submission to government. Now, that's the way I feel, and I'm actually in the process of withdrawing that link to that number. So, okay, we have to consider, what is Social Security? First of all, if you don't know, Social Security was created in the League of Nations, and that was 8 full years before it was implemented in the United States. League of Nations? Not an American thing. United States? Okay. So, what you might not know is that the Social Security is now handled by the World Bank through the United Nations. If you type into, you can go to Wikipedia if you want, just simple, and type in the International Social Security Administration. International Social Security Administration, ISSA. You will find that over 130 countries across the globe, all the first world countries, participate in Social Security. What is it? It's just another pension scheme. It's another insurance scheme. In other words, it's an investment scheme for government. It is a way to take taxpayer dollars and invest them and to profit and gain from that investment. And now it's on a worldwide scale. It literally is, if you will, the mark or the number of the beast, if you want to go that far. In fact, you might want to go and actually read U.S. Code Section 666 in Title 42, which tells you that your children can be taken away from you by the state. Again, Title 42, Section 666. Very interesting read there. But let me tell you what is the solution? Okay, we hate Social Security. We don't want to be a part of it. We don't need the benefits. We don't want them. We don't want to be subject to government. You can't just, say, here's my card back, because it's not your card. It's actually property of government. If you turn the card around, or when you get the card in the mail, it specifically says that this card is property of the government. It is not your property, and the number is not your property. Again, you're the surety to it, to a corporate person, and that is the number of that artificial person, that straw man, that paper man. Okay, well, how did this come about? How did I get a Social Security number? Well, it was administered to me long before I was at the age of consent to actually take that number or that mark. So that alone makes any contractual obligations from it completely unlawful and, in fact, illegal. Of course, government exempts itself from such things, and so it allows itself to do this. What would I do? What is the solution? What is a solution? Legally? A solution? There's only one solution. Remember, that is the end or discharge of contract. In all cases, everything that you complain about, everything that you don't like, is caused because you have a contractual nature with government. And the solution, again, I can't stress this enough, is to end the contract. Well, how would I possibly do that with Social Security? They laugh at you when you try to return that card. They tell you to leave their office immediately, slave, because you simply don't know the correct legal function and solution. Well, let me tell you what it is. Now, again, I'm not going to offer you legal advice. I'm not going to tell you to do something that you're not prepared to do like I am. But this is the route that I am going to partake in, and I've talked to others who have already done that and are just fine without it. There's a little-known form that is certainly not advertised in Social Security because the connotations of that form would cause, at the least, a revolution of the mind in the people. It would cease the control that is government. That form, if you want to read it and check it out, is simply SSA, Social Security Administration, -521. That's SSA 521. What's the title of that? It's a request for withdrawal of application. Huh. Well, let's see. That application actually happened how long ago? So I'm going to be 41 tomorrow. Happy birthday to me. So that application happened when I was very young. So somewhere around 30, 35 years ago, possibly when I was the birth certificate was when my parents registered me with the state through the birth certificate. So what is this form, SSA-521? It says request for withdrawal of application. This is a request to cancel your application. But wait a minute. I thought you wanted to actually cancel the Social Security number. Well, see, this is what's important about legal things. It's your application for your Social Security card. It's your application for your mortgage. It's your application for citizenship. It's your application for all of these things. That's what's important, because that's where your signature of your artificial construct, your artificial person, your straw man, that application gets monetized. It gets turned into a financial instrument. You become the surety for basically a commodity. That is what your little corporate structure of a person is. Now, there's no Social Security account sitting there for just you. This is a big, massive trust fund that they're predicting is going to grow to over $4 trillion in just a short while. Currently, or at least last year, it was sitting at $2.5 trillion in investments. So, what does this mean? If I'm withdrawing the application, it's almost like going back in time and severing the tie that actually put me into this system when I was before the age of consent. The application itself is what sets everything into motion. It is the foundation, the very foundation of everything. Just like the Constitution is the foundation of government, which is why I want to separate my tie from it as well. I'm going to separate through Social Security Form 521 my application. What is that going to do? That is going to actually slice the tie that binds me to my Social Security number, because remember, it's not my number, it's government's number. I have nothing to do with it other than my ignorant agreeance to be a surety and to gain benefits from that, which actually, very importantly, makes me or puts me in a position where I can be a taxpayer. There's taxpayers and non-taxpayers. I am a non-taxpayer. So, what happened? I just implemented the word solution. I severed the contract. That contract cannot exist. And on that form, I'm going to list the reasons. I'm going to say, hey, the only reason you need to know is that you entered into this contract unlawfully because I was under the age of consent. You are presuming my consent, and since I haven't fought that presumption or rebutted that presumption, you are doing all kinds of horrible things to me. You're making me follow your rules and your codes. Well, I don't want to do that anymore, so I'm going to withdraw my application. I'm going to demand it. I'm not going to ask. I'm going to say goodbye. So, what does that do? All of a sudden, I am now free of this number, like I said, this mark of the corporate beast that is government control, mind control. Now, I can do a whole host of things, because now I have the solution in the palm of my hand. I have severed that tie. My driver's license is connected to my Social Security number. But if my Social Security number is no longer connected to me or my quote-unquote person, my driver's license is now invalid. My registration to vote is based on my Social Security number. I'm going to simply say, look, your contract is not valid anymore. It's based on a number that no longer exists in its connection to me. Everything is based on contract, and the solution is to discharge that obligation, that contract. You're on the National Intel Report. I'm Clint Richardson, and we will be back after a very long break. We must take